Welcome to my ministry mission, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Sit back and relax as we dive into God's Word together, finding hope, guidance, and inspiration for our lives. Be sure to check out today's show notes for extra resources, updates, and ways to connect with our growing community. Or head on over to myministrymission.com to get more information, contact me, become a guest, and so much more. God has placed a calling of ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call, sharing my journey of faith, tackling tough questions, and encouraging you to live boldly for Christ. So I hope you're ready to ignite your spiritual flames. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Thank you for listening and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Jason McConnell. And today we're stepping into a conversation that bridges the worlds of imagination, perseverance, and divine purpose. One of the beautiful things about faith is how God can take the stories we create, the ones born out of struggle, out of hope, and out of redemption, and he'll use them to point right back to him. And my guest today, Frank Ravinelli, knows that truth all too well. Frank is a storyteller at heart, a writer whose love for adventure and faith intertwines with his debut fantasy novel, hopefully I'll get the name right, Pages of Adur, Journey to the Penitentia Throat. It's a tale of destiny, courage, of light rising out of darkness, and what makes this story truly inspiring isn't just the pages he's written, it's the journey God led him through to write them. Frank's testimony reminds us that the road to purpose often winds through suffering. Yet it's in those valleys that God refines us. And today we're going to talk about how faith sustained Frank through hardships, how creativity became his act of worship, and what it truly means to take up your cross daily, even when life doesn't go the way we plan. You can learn more about Frank by going to his website at frankravinelli.com. That's RAVANELLI.com. He's got a great TikTok channel as well. You can visit. All of this information will be available in this episode's show notes, so be sure to check that out before you're done with this episode. And I know you're dying to get to know him, to learn more, so let's get started with Frank. So welcome, Frank. Welcome to the show, my friend. I've been looking forward to this conversation. Hopefully you have as well.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me on, Jason. I've been looking forward to this all week and all month. I'm really looking forward to talking to your audience and kind of telling them about me.
Yeah, that's great. It's a great story. You have a lot of energy. So this is going to be awesome.
But yeah, I agree.
I like to get started with the favorite Bible verse. And I do this with all the guests. John 15:18 seemed like such a unique choice for me. It's the world hates you. Keep in mind that he hated me first, or that it hated me first. And I mean, how does that speak to you?
This Bible verse is so beautiful. And so many people like myself, sometimes this world rejects you. I might get rejected by someone, a job, a person, and it hurts, or someone might not like you. They don't like your values. They don't like your religion. And it feels like this entire world is coming at you and hating you. But you have to remember, if you love this world, you're loving the world that killed Jesus Christ. So this Bible verse speaks to me all the time. So I'm just thinking, wow, I understand that the world hated Jesus first, the most innocent man ever to live. And now I used to not really think about this Bible verse, but it came to me. And now I just like always think about it. When I'm down, I understand that it's okay that we are taking up our piece of the cross.
Oh, that's amazing. That's true too, because everyone knows I haven't always been a Christian. It's been the last 5 years or so that I converted. And some people come along and they're okay with it, and some people aren't. And you have to be okay with that you may lose friends, you may be ostracized by family, you may have trouble with a job. These are things that are going to happen, and it's part of the cross. It's part of taking up that cross and walking with him.
Exactly. Yeah, so definitely.
That's a great reminder. Now, you grew up in a big Catholic household. You said five brothers. I think you were right in the middle. What was that like?
It was so much fun. I we had so much fun when we were younger. We'd go outside, we'd always play imaginary games. We loved Lord of the Rings. So we're outside playing Lord of the Rings all the time. We'd play all sports together. So we play 3-on-3 basketball. I would like to say that I was the best at basketball, but my brothers were good at other sports. But I mean, I'm so thankful that I grew up in such a large family. My brothers pushed me to be a better person. I pushed them to be better people. So I talk to them every single day. We're very, very close. And actually, my younger brother is maybe becoming a Catholic priest. He's thinking about it.
Oh, wow. That's a big step.
Yeah, definitely. So we grew up in a very faith-centered family, and it was all because my mom was very faith-centered. So it was amazing. I want a big family. I really appreciated being in a huge family.
Right on. So the real question is, when you guys played Lord of the Ring, who played Strider? Who is Aragorn?
I was.
Were you? Right on.
Yeah. So I believe my older brother was Gandalf. He was the Gandalf. My older brother than me was always Legolas. I was Strider. And then my little brothers were small at the time, so they were the Hobbits.
The Hobbits. Right on.
Yeah.
And then you were homeschooled all through elementary, the equivalent of elementary grades. And I mean, I think you had mentioned that was pretty amazing too, right?
Oh, yeah. So my mom was an elementary school teacher before we were born, and she had the credentials to homeschool us, and it was amazing. We would first go through our studies, and then we'd go on field trips. We'd go skiing. We'd go to museums. We would learn about our faith, too. In the morning, we'd go to daily mass. So it was a really faith-centered homeschooling experience, and we just learned so much. We always hung out with our cousins. We sometimes have extended recesses, but it was just, I loved it. I mean, I met so many amazing people. I still actually am close with some of the kids that were homeschooled with us that we'd go on field trips with. So, I want to homeschool my kids one day too, because I learned so much from it. And I thank my mom so much for homeschooling us.
Yeah. I've read, and I've heard other people confirm this, that when you're homeschooled, you get through the lessons a lot faster because you don't have 30 other kids you're trying to bring up to the same level or trying to level set with. And you get a lot more done and you get to do more activities, like you're saying, skiing and whatnot.
So yeah, great. It was a blast.
Right on. You know, you were rooted in the Catholic faith, grew up in a very faith-centered home. But you mentioned during your college years, when we talked before, that you kind of drifted. And you know, kind of what I'd like to do is if you're up for it, talk about what was missing in your life at that time.
Yeah. So when I was in my studies in college, it was new to me. Everything was new, living on your own. I've never lived on my own in my entire life. So then, okay, I don't have my mom there anymore saying, let's go to church. Mm-hmm. And it was all about just studying, making friends, maybe getting in a relationship. God didn't fit in my life at the time. And I felt empty because of that. And I wouldn't go to church, confess, like I would never go through any of the sacraments with our Catholic faith. And I just felt like I wasn't really practicing anything. I was just going through studies, playing sports. It was just all desires of this world. And I really drifted from my faith, especially in college and a little bit after college too.
Yeah, that's not surprising. I mean, you know, I've actually had people tell me that because I didn't grow up in a faith-based home. But when you get to a certain point, and maybe this was the transition for you, maybe it's not, but a lot of people tell me that they have to shift gears from being your parents' faith to being your own. You have to own it at some point. And maybe that's a season of drifting. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that's correct. Like I was just drifting away from my parents' faith, and I was just basically making my own, which was not good.
Well, you got there though. God brought you back.
You did.
The specific moment when you realized nothing could satisfy you but Christ, and you finally made that, like, I admit I need you.
Yeah. So there were times in my life, especially post-graduation, I was traveling around. I went to Los Angeles, Las Vegas, New York, places that I thought, oh, I'm going to find happiness here. This is the stuff that I value. And then I learned I felt the most empty there. And then things I enjoyed, like going out with my buddies. Oh, maybe if I get a girlfriend, I'll be happy. But nothing was making me happy. And then I sunk down to a part of my life where I was so in despair. I felt sad. I'm like, what is missing in this life? Why? I had everything I wanted and nothing fulfilled my happiness except when I came back to the church in Jesus Christ. And that's when I noticed, wow, that's the happiness I was looking for my entire life. And now I feel so much more free because of it.
Right.
Finding Jesus.
You the feel, prodigal son. Mm-hmm. You were in the slop of the pigs.
Like, yeah, exactly. That's a great comparison. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, and sometimes we all have to, I think I mentioned to you when we talked before, but you know, I spent 42 years of my life not being in the faith. And I tell people that I spent my 42 years in the, my 40 years in the desert.
That's a great point.
There's mm-hmm. always something, you know, Bible has a lot of great parables, a lot of great lessons that we can align ourselves to. For sure.
So correct. Yeah. So many parables that are amazing.
So how does your faith, now that you're kind of back in the swing of things, how does it influence your creative and daily walk?
Yeah. Great question. So my creativity comes from God. I understand that if I am not in a state of grace, if I am not going to church, I'm not praying, I don't have the creativity. I can't come up with anything. I'm not thinking straight. But then when I'm praying about it, I'm asking God, help me with my creativity and bring this creativity I have close, make it others, they become closer to God because of it. Like my writing brings others closer to God. And without God, I wouldn't have these gifts of being creative. So I understand it doesn't come from me. And like I said, even in college, I wasn't creative because I didn't go to church. I wasn't mm-hmm. praying. I had no prayer life. So that's how it really shapes my life today.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So you know, when we kind of early on in this process, you had mentioned that you wanted to speak through suffering. You kind of want to focus on that and the whole mm-hmm. idea of taking up your cross. And what does that mean for followers of Christ in general to you, taking up the cross?
Yeah, this is something I did not understand back then. But then I went through so much suffering and I said, why, God? Why am I going through this suffering? And I would waste the suffering almost. I would abandon my cross. I would complain. I would be really angry at God. But now I understand this, that we are helping Christ carry that cross. And we are learning something from this suffering. We can ask God, help me learn something from this suffering. And now when I'm going through trials, tribulations, I understand how beautiful it is because we get to take part in that suffering. In that cross that Jesus carried.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've done an episode on, I've talked about it a little bit. I've recently lost my sister and I went through a season of feeling betrayed, of feeling angry, of doubting, of whatever, you know, you go through all the feelings. And what I took away from that was that if you're angry at God and you're talking to him, if you're frustrated, if you feel betrayed and you're taking it to him, why, God, did you do this? You're still moving to him.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. it's when you kind of wash your hands and stop mm-hmm. believing, stop taking things to him, stop. You're not even talking to him. That's where you get in trouble.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, it's okay to be angry. He can handle it. It's okay to feel betrayed as long as I'm still moving towards him some way. And I think for me, that was an important lesson in terms of suffering and grief.
Yeah, definitely. Especially losing someone. I can see how that would be very, very difficult. And sometimes, like you said, we can be angry, but we have to understand, it's taking up our piece of the cross.
Yep. So what does the taking up the cross mean for your faith journey? If you don't mind.
So for my faith journey, I now understand that, okay, I'm going to go through suffering. I'm getting better. But I understand this, that just, it's not, maybe my life isn't turning out like I thought. But I understand that God, this is all part of God's plan. I am meant to take up my cross and I'm going to learn something so beneficial. I'm going to become a better person from taking up my cross. And now this is so beautiful. Now, when I feel like I'm going through suffering, I can now understand, okay, I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow to be a better person. And there's still times I'm tempted to abandon my cross. But being connected to Christ, I understand, no, I'm going to become out a better person from this.
Yeah, I love that saying. A friend of mine says it all the time. If you want to make God laugh, tell him about your plans.
Yeah, that's a very good, exactly.
I mean, it's funny. I asked this question, why do you think younger generations struggle so much with suffering and purpose? Being that to me, you kind of are the younger generation. But even, you know, multi-generationally, because, you know, there are people that are looking at me as the younger generation. So why is it so hard for the ones that come after us to figure this out when we're trying to teach them about it?
Yeah, this is a great question. I actually made a TikTok on this this week. So many young people are going through suffering, and I'm 28. Like I'm saying young people, I am young. Like it's because social media, the internet is lying to so many young people. Oh, you need to have this much money by this age. You need to be in a relationship. You need to be married. You need to be X, Y, and Z. They're being lied to. So it becomes so stressful. And all these young people are like, well, now I'm looking at X so-and-so and they're doing better than me. So then you start comparing lifestyles and then it starts building on, and all of this stuff just makes people fall into despair. And that's why I feel like there's so many young people that are depressed now, because the social media is showing others' lives that look extravagant, that look amazing. And people telling them, and especially bad influential people, will say, you need to do this. If you're a young person, you need to do this. And it's just false. So they're being lied to. And that's why I feel like so many are suffering at the moment. I know so many people are still just, they don't know what to do. And sometimes when I'm out, I try to talk to them about Christ. Some people are open to it and some aren't, but that's why I think it is. It's social media. I think social media is very, very dangerous. It can be used for the good, but a lot of it can be negative.
Yeah. So, and that's such a great purpose, because social media has taken keeping up with the Joneses to
a
global level. Because I mean, that's I'm hearing the same thing I heard growing up. You know, you need to get a college education, you need a good job, you need to make money, you need to whatever. You need to have all these great things in your life to be happy, to be a functional person in this world. And that was coming from, you know, my culture where I grew up. But now you've got this stuff being fed to you. And you know, I also saw that a lot of these social media influencers will go out and rent these extravagant houses to record in, and they don't live there. They're like you said, they're lying to you. They're showing you, this is how wonderful my life is, and they live in a, you know, like a studio apartment somewhere, and they're just renting this place for a weekend. It's crazy.
It's all about getting the most views, the most followers. It's like you said, that's a great comparison, is keeping up with the Joneses. It's like that now. And they're just being lied to, and it's sad, because even my younger brothers, they're just in college now. They're like, we don't know what to do out of college. We got to make so much money. We got to buy a house. It's like, relax, live every day in the present. God will handle all of that. And that's what I learned from it. I try to stay off social media. I do run TikTok and I post almost 5 times a day, but I do that just to try to, I like to talk about my faith journey on TikTok. So.
Yeah. And I think it was Apostle Paul. I can't remember the verse, the chapter and verse, but wasn't it Apostle Paul that said, I know what it is to have plenty and I know what it is to have nothing.
Yeah.
And I can be content in either through my faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's a really good point, because I thought about this too with my job. I understand this, that God, if everything was taken away from me today, I understand that it all came from God. A lot of this, I pray every single day, and I understand that, God, if this is your will, then let it be done. And I understand that all this can be taken away, but I will still always have my faith, which is all I need. So,
what has God taught you about finding peace amid those hardships? Other than, I mean, you know, rooted in faith, but there's lessons there. There's ways to stay rooted. I guess that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. So what I've learned in hardships is this. So I've been through a lot of hardships. And some of the times I didn't know what to do. Most of the time I just abandoned it, like I said. And now I learned that, okay, in hardships, go to church and start praying. Our Catholic faith teaches us to pray the rosary. So that's what I like to do a lot. I go to adoration. So those are just the Catholic things we do. And I like doing that. And I learned that that's where I find peace, when the world is basically shouting at me, do this, do this. And that's where I find peace now, is going to church, praying, really listening to God's word, reading the gospel. Because that was something I really did not do when I was younger. I didn't know. I couldn't tell you one Bible verse when I was in college. I couldn't even tell. There was a lot of the things I didn't know anything about. And I felt like it was just like, wow, everything was just opened up now. I understand a lot more.
Yeah.
And just reading the gospel just teaches me so much. Reading the teachings of Jesus, if you read that, you will become a better person in every aspect of your life. So, that's what I learned from it.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of people, probably my age, your age, even younger, who are having trouble staying motivated when life gets overwhelming. What advice would you have for them?
Yeah. So motivation, it can be hard. And I can talk about motivation. Like when I'm not motivated to go to the gym most days. I'm not I'm not motivated to make TikToks every single day. There's a lot of things I'm not motivated to do. Some days I don't even want to pray. I'm just distracted. And I understand this. There's going to be times you don't want to do stuff, but those are the times you grow the most. The times I go to the gym when I don't want to, that's when I'm growing. The times when I'm praying and really staying dedicated to my faith is when I'm really growing a connection with God. And it's hard to stay motivated, but you have to stay consistent. I noticed that's the biggest thing. I like the days I'm not feeling motivated, I now understand, wow, I'm going to learn something on these days. So that's what I've learned from it. And it can be hard because I know a lot of people, they can't commit to a lot of things anymore. And it's just because we have so much distraction in our life. Like I said, social media, work, school, there's just so much stuff that's thrown at us. So that's what I've learned. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. My stepmother used to tell me, she probably still says it, but she used to tell me that motivation doesn't come before, it comes during. Mm-hmm. So, the days I don't want to go to the gym, I start with simple. Let me go find my socks. Cool. Yeah. Now that I have my socks, where are my shoes? All right. I might as well put them on since I have them both. Well, now that my shoes and socks are on, let me grab my gym bag. And now that I've got everything, I might as well just go to the gym. You know, you kind of trick yourself into going. It's little steps.
That's a good point. You know what I thought about too, to keeps me motivated. And we're talking about the gym now. So this is interesting, but I put everything out the night before. So if I'm going to the gym in the morning, I put my clothes out, my shoes out, everything, my drink out. And then immediately it's a very effortless process. Everything's right there. I put everything on and then I just head out the door. Same with church. If I wake up late, because I go to 9 a.m. church, and I just set everything out, because sometimes I like to sleep in, but I set everything out, my clothes, everything, because I film TikToks there too, my camera set, and you just want to make stuff easy like that. So that's how I stay motivated, and I do listen to a lot of Christian motivational speakers too, so that does help me.
Yeah. So it's hard. It's hard sometimes, but that's good advice.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like that. Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk about your story, your book. Did I say it right? Pages of Ardour?
Yeah, I got right here too.
There you go, right on. I like that.
Yeah.
So tell us about it high level.
Okay.
What's important to know about the book?
Okay, so the book is a fantasy novel, very similar to Lord of the Rings and Chronicles of Narnia. It's about this main character named Uriel. He was basically prophesied in the constellations, and it's his journey through the land of Jagoria. And through this journey, he meets a lot of friends. He meets people that he never would have knew before. But through the journey, he makes these great friendships. He goes through a lot of suffering like we do every single day. And this book really does connect to what people feel today. I made like a kind of a fantasy novel that's very relevant to what young people experience today. So it's about a lot of trials, a lot of spiritual warfare is very relevant in this book. So you'll see that a lot. It was took me a long time to write, and now it's out.
Yeah, when you and I talked, you started this book when you were much younger, right? And it just kind of like percolated for a long time.
Yep.
So that's cool that it's finally come to fruition. It's finally a book. It's a thing now.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So what kind of parallels will readers draw between Uriel's trials and our own faith journeys in this spiritual warfare and redemption thing that's going on?
Yeah. So during the book, there's a lot of characters in it. I think I have 20, maybe 20 characters in it. There's a lot. And Uriel doesn't understand anything he's going through when he's younger. He goes, people don't like him. He's made fun of. He doesn't look like the other kids. And all throughout his life, they're just like, Uriel, you don't fit in. And he just, and then he eventually goes to a land, a city. He meets a lot of friends and they look down upon him, but some people don't. And then he's called upon this great journey with people he's never met before. And they all go through different parts of their journey through suffering. Some might have like, is very relevant to God's plan too. A lot of these characters like Uriel, they had a plan their whole life. Oh, I'm going to be a great knight. I'm going to be a king.
Yep.
And it doesn't really turn out like that. Their life is nothing like that. And it's all part of God's greater plan. And they understand that, wow, going on this journey grew them as people. And there's a lot of, like I said, spiritual warfare too. There's times they're tempted to do bad, tempted to betray each other, tempted to even abandon the journey altogether. But they don't, because they have faith in the God, which my God in this is called Aminia. So he's like the main God.
Got it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Kind of, yeah. No, that's definitely aligns. I mean, my life didn't turn out anywhere near what I expected.
Like, yeah.
We all have that, you know, we get to that point where we're like, I'm going to do whatever. And you don't. And your life's okay anyways. You know, it's probably better.
Yeah. That's how I feel too. I made a TikTok on this. I said, my life didn't turn out like I thought. I thought I would have been married by now with like 8 kids, maybe not 8 kids, but I thought I'd be married now with like a big family, and I'm not. So, but I trust in God and I know that this is for the greater good and something will come.
Right on.
So, yeah.
All right. So, you mentioned that you did put this topic down for a while. I guess the question I have is, what role did the Holy Spirit play in helping you finish this story after years of what we could, I guess, call writer's block?
Yeah. So I had a writer's block. I think I started this when I was young. I had this idea. It was actually my buddy and I always talked about it. We both wanted to write a book and he started his, he never finished it. I think he got to like 50 pages, but, I was in college. So I was writing. Nothing really made sense when I was writing. No faith was tied into the story at all. So this was just a fantasy novel. I was going to have a lot of things I didn't like about it. I was going to have a lot of gore in it. And it was just stuff that today I look at, I'm like, I would never write about that. And through all these trials, I went through times where I was so down in my life after college. And I remember that I went through like a really, really tough patch and I didn't know what to do. And I was waking up every day and I was just like, wow, my life is, I don't know what to do anymore. Like there's just no purpose to any of this. And I started going back to church because my mom wanted me to. She felt like I was not being myself. And then I start praying like, God, what should I do with this life? Then the Holy Spirit came to me one day and said, write this book. And I'm like, whoa, it was like a light bulb just went off. I'm like, I need to write a book. I start calling everybody. Yeah, I started literally calling everybody. I said, I need to write a book. And a lot of people thought I was crazy. Writing a book, Frank, you were a marketing major. Yeah, but I need to write a book. And that's what happened. And I was fortunate enough that I was transferred to a different area in the United States, was able to have alone time and write this book. And this was God's purpose, like write this novel. And I finished it. And it's one of the greatest accomplishments I ever did. And I hope everybody can read it because I think it really will help young people understand suffering.
Nice. So how did you keep track of so many characters?
Okay, it was very hard. And my edit, it's funny that you say that because my editor did not like that I had so many characters.
Right?
Yeah, she's like, you have way too many characters. And it was tough, but you know what I did? This is the only way I was able to keep track. Every single character is based off a family member in my life.
Oh boy. That makes Thanksgiving dinner weird.
It does. Yeah. But a lot of them didn't read it. My younger brother did.
Maybe it's for the best.
Yeah. And his character ended up not making it all the way through the journey. So he wasn't very happy about that. But they're all based off family members. So that was the easy part of keeping track. Okay. I would make it I'd put like a sheet down, like Luix is Louis. That's what I would do.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. So what hope do you want readers to take away from the story? I mean, obviously entertainment, but there's got to be, you know, some foundational principle of faith that you'd like them to take away.
Of course, perseverance, being able to understand God's plan. Don't abandon your suffering. Don't go into despair, and never communicate with the enemy. Don't listen to these false temptations that say, oh, you're not good enough. You're not talented enough. You were not meant for this life. Don't listen to them. Listen to God. That's what I want my audience really to take away, because I won't give away the book, but
no spoilers.
I won't. But there are times where the enemy was tempting them, and they're thinking to themselves, they're like, well, maybe I am just a nobody from Von Gorn City. Maybe I wasn't meant for anything. But then they understand, no, we can't listen to the enemy, because that's what the enemy will do. That's what Satan plans to do, is to make you fall into despair, telling you're not good enough, making you feel worthless. Yeah. And that's what I want my readers to really take away, is to understand, no, you are meant for greater good if you follow God's plan.
Yeah, you have enough worth to exist. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Right on. So is this going to be like the start of a trilogy? Is there going to be more books, or see this going?
It's tough to write. I mean, I remember writing when I was just on a roll back when I lived in Charlotte. I was writing like 6 pages a night, and I really want to make this a trilogy. I thought about 6 books, but there is so much I can do with this. The hard part is just really, I want to dive into different characters' point of view, and each character is going to have their own point of view.
Okay.
Basically, they're going to have their own journey. So if I do that, it can be 5 books. I want to start writing too soon. Yeah. But 3 books. I really want to make it 3 books, but it might be difficult.
Yeah. No, I liked, so I'm a big fan of the Dragonlance world. If you're into any sort of fantasy thing, it's, but they have the Chronicles trilogy, and then they have the Legends trilogy. So they have they have a ton of books in the series now, in this world. But a lot of them are in, you know, like trilogy format. So, you know, have a trilogy that has a specific theme, and then you go to a different story with similar characters or different characters. And I don't know, maybe this will turn into a huge, like, thing. Maybe you get a movie someday.
I have to look into that. Yeah, that'd be really interesting. A movie would be awesome. I mean, that would be the goal, but who knows?
Right?
Maybe like a Netflix series. I don't know. If you watch, I think there's a Angel Studios. They have stuff like that, and maybe you can release on there. More of like a Christian Catholic.
There you go. That'd be
series.
Cool.
Who knows? Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So, well, Frank, thank you so much for having this conversation today. Any final words or thoughts you have for the listeners listening today?
Yeah. So I really, again, appreciate being on here. It was excellent. I really enjoyed our conversation. I would tell my the viewers, if you want to contact me ever, you can follow my TikTok, Fantasy Frankie, and embrace and take up your cross. That's the biggest thing in life. Understand that you are helping Jesus carry that cross. Don't abandon your suffering. And when you understand that, I'm telling you now, your life will improve so much. Your life will feel more free. Because I will never go back to that life I was in. I don't want to. It doesn't even appeal to me anymore. When you find Christ, you'll understand, wow, this life is beautiful.
Yeah, you finally get it. That's just amazing. Thank you so much, Frank. God bless you, and I hope we get to stay in touch.
Yeah, God bless you too, Jason. I appreciate it.
Yep. So that was Frank Ravinelli, author of Pages of the Adur, Journey to the Penitentia Throne. More than just a novel, it's an experience. Christ-inspired journey. Be sure to check out the details of my show notes for that, for his TikTok. It sounds like he's got some great stuff out there in a world full of social media junk. Go look for something good. Go look for Frank and his TikTok and whatever else you can find out there. I believe he has a YouTube as well. The TikTok seems to be more popular, but you know, feel free to look for him everywhere. Until next time, keep loving your neighbors, dive into God's Word daily, and may the Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with His peace. Take care, God bless, and I'll see you in the next episode. You've just finished listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Please be sure to like and subscribe this podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to check out today's show notes for great links and information you may have missed. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time.